Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie and Mother Rita and all those that have joined us this lovely, cool morning. Grateful that God woke us up in the freshness of the day. And I see the sun coming up, Mother Valerie. I can see it through my curtains, and I'm just like, beautiful. God gives us beauty, beauty for ashes. You know, I took a picture last week, and my scripture on my daily scriptures, I get a scripture every morning. And my scripture for this morning was from the book of Deuteronomy. And I was just like, wow. And then I added to one of my pictures, and it says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love and keep his commandments. And I had a sky picture that was just like colors of blue, so I think I sent it to you. And so I added the scripture to that image on my Instagram, and I have been getting quite a few compliments on the pictures that I'm posting on my Instagram, so I'm grateful for that, because, you know, God is just so good, and I am, like, grateful that he loves us so much, that he wants the best for us, that he wants us to do our best in everything we do. So thank you, God, and thank God for his grace and his mercy that is new every morning. Great, oh, Lord. And the word for this morning is, oh, Most High, when my enemies, come on now, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. They shall fall and perish at your presence. We don't have to worry about anybody coming at us, because God's always got your back. You know, you'll hear someone say, get behind me, Satan. You can say that. I used to say, don't say that. That only Jesus can say that. But God had to show me, yeah, you can say that because I'm behind you. I got your back. So when you say, get behind me, Satan, understand I'm fighting your battles. And you don't have to worry about it. I got you. And I had to come to that realization and tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Because covered, as our mother and I were speaking before we started, God's got us covered in our good. God's got us covered in our bad. God's got us covered in our absolute ugly. And why does he have us covered? Because he's in charge of everything. And when we come to that realization that we don't have to walk in worry, we don't have to walk in strife. We know who's got us, and it's God. And the word that God gave me in our prayer for this morning is this, forgiven. We talked about that. As we go into our lesson today, you'll understand how important this prayer is It's like the prayers that they give us in this 365 days of prayer for life. It all just seems to fit with our lessons. And it says, forgiven. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Mark 11:25, NRSV. Merciful God, you are full of forgiveness for those who humble themselves before you. You know that I want to live in the light of your truth. I repent of my selfish ways. I don't want my own way to live. Pleasing myself is not worth it. Give me the grace I need to extend forgiveness to those who hurt me. I don't want to hold grudges, God, knowing that they are like rust eating away at my own soul. I have been forgiven of so much. I live in the freedom that your compassion extends. Lord, when I am struggling to forgive those who have wronged me, would you give me the grace to choose it and choose it again until my heart is not triggered in anger or sadness by the thought of them? I lay down every complaint I've been holding on to. The weight is not worth it. And the question for today is, who can you forgive today? When we stand in all of that hate and hurt and unforgiveness, it don't hurt the person that you haven't forgiven. That's the one thing I can say. If somebody is walking around with a grudge against you, most of the time you have no idea that they have a grudge against you. You're going on about your life, and they sitting there eating themselves up with hate and hatred towards you, and it's not going to hurt you at all. It's going to hurt them. We wonder why sometimes so many people have cancer, because they're allowing something in their spirit to eat them up. We got to shake that stuff off. I tell the kids when they're having a little bit of issue, I'm like, let's stand up. We're going to shake all that off. Before we start today, we shaking it off. Shake off all the stuff that happened at school. Shake off all the I don't likes. Shake off all the unforgiveness. You got to shake it off and give it to God and leave it alone. You can't say, I forgive, and then go back and pick it up. I forgive and go back and pick it up. You know, there have been some folks that have hurt me to my core, but I had to let that stuff go because I refuse to give anybody more power than God. Because when you let folks in unforgiveness eat in your mind, they take over your mind and there's no place for God. We got to shake that stuff up, give it to God, and let it go. Got to give it to God and let it go. And that is what I got this morning, and now I'm about to turn it over to Mother Valerie because we're going to see some shenanigans today. We're going to see some shenanigans in the sons of Jacob. And again, one of the sons of Jacob, God puts in charge of the church, and the stuff that he does in today's lesson, you're like, what? And you put them in charge of the church, God? With him. But then you got to understand, God is a forgiving God too. And the fact of the matter is, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But in this case, the sons of Jacob believed that vengeance was theirs. And they did. And if you join Mother Valerie and myself in Genesis chapter 33 through 34, you'll find out what went on. Our title is coming out of the ninth Psalm, verses 1 through 5. And we will also be in Proverbs chapter 3, 21 through 26. And our New Testament word is Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, people of God. God has graciously done it again. I saw a beautiful sunrise this morning. God woke me up, and the temperature is 6 degrees, and it's cold, but it's a beautiful, beautiful sunrise. God is just a good God. Not one time, but all the time. coming out of Genesis 33:1. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming with him with 400 men. When Jacob lifted his eyes and he saw the 400 men, I can assume that he thought his brother was coming to kill him, because his brother had threatened to kill him after the father was dead. And with all these men coming, he was shaking and he was scared. 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times. He bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. I mean, he wanted Esau to know that I'm humble, I'm bowing myself before you and your 400 men. If you're going to kill me, so be it. But Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" So he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the maidservant came near, they and their children, and bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children, and they bowed down. Afterward, Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down. Then Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company which I met?" And he said, "These are to find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." And Jacob said, "No, please. If I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my presents from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face as though I have seen the face of God." Man, he was so grateful. He was totally grateful that his brother kissed him and didn't want to kill him. And that's what we were talking about. You have to forgive. Can't keep on holding that. He kissed him, and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. So he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us take our journey. Let us go, and I will go before you." But Jacob said to him, "My lord, those that the children are weak, and the flocks and herds which are nursing are with me. And if the men should drive them hard, one day all the flocks will die. Please let my lord go on ahead before his servants. I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock that go before me and the children are able to endure until I come to my lord and Sarah." And Esau said, "Now let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir, and Jacob journeyed to Sychar, built himself a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Sychar. Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram. And he pitched his tent before the city. He bought the parcel of land, which he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of silver. 100 pieces of money. Then he erected an altar there and called it El Elon Israel. Now Diane, the daughter of Leah, whom she had bore to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hermon, the Hittite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her, laid with her, and violated her. What he did, he fell in love with her, and he just didn't get her permission. He just raped her. His soul was strongly attached to Diane, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. So Shechem spoke to his father, Hamor, saying, "Get me this young woman as a wife." And Jacob heard that he had defiled Diane, his daughter. Now his sons were with the livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. And the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. No daughter, nobody should be raped. But Hamor spoke with him, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife and make marriage with us. Give your daughters to us and take our daughters to yourself. So you shall dwell with us, and the land shall become, and you shall be before you, dwell and trade in it, and acquire possessions for yourself in it. Then Shechem said to his father and his brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask me even so much dowry and gift, and I will give according to what you say to me. But give me the young woman as a wife. But the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, and spoke deceitfully, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said to them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a reproach to us. But on this condition, we will consent to you. If you would become as we are, if every male of you is circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not heed us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughters and be gone. And they words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. So the young man did not delay to do the thing because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. He was more honorable than all the household of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of the city and spoke with the men of the city, saying, these men are at peace with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade in it. For indeed, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us as wives and give our daughters to them. Only on this condition will the men consent to dwell with us to be one people. If every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised, will not their livestock, their property, and every animal of theirs be ours? Only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us. And all who went out of the gate of the city, he, Hamor, and Shechem, his son, every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dan's brother East, took his sword, came boldly upon the city, and killed all the males. They killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the sword, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon and slayed and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. Their sister had been raped. I'm saying rape, but defiled means rape. They took their sheep, their oxen, donkeys, what was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth, all their little ones, their wives, they took captives. And they plundered even all that was in the house. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites, Perizzites. Since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I. But they said, did he treat our daughter like a harlot? Did he treat her like a harlot? And you know what? The answer would be no. He fell in love with her, but he never should have raped her. He should have spoke to whoever was in charge, Hamor and Shechem, and asked for her hand in marriage. He should have waited. But he was so in love with her that he didn't wait. He didn't wait at all. Life's blessing, Genesis 30:11.
Excuse me, Mother. He was in lust at first. He was in lust with her. And that's why he raped her. Then he fell in love. But the thing is that in that culture, when a man had lain with the woman that he wanted and raped, and even in today's culture, even today, in some of those places, it's you got to marry her. So in order to force a woman into marriage, back in those days and in sometimes in the same different cultures, that's a way of forcing a marriage is if I rape her, then she has to marry me. And if we remember in the book where the son of David raped his half-sister Tamar, we got to remember that was exactly the same situation. he was lusting after her, calling it love. And then after he raped her, he felt guilty and then wanted to treat her just like they said, like a harlot. And that's what caused Absalom to lose his mind and kill his brother and get ready to take his daddy's kingdom. Was a similar situation to this. A rape, again, we don't know what Dinah thought about this young man, but he had basically taken her captive, because I don't believe she went back to her family's home. I believe that's what he did, was she was with them. And the brothers was like, no, this is not going to happen. Because these, you remember, they were heathens. They didn't believe
Amen.
In our God. And remember what God has said, do not let your children marry into these people, into the Canaanites. And I'm sure that these boys had grown up with that. That's why their dad went to Laban. But it was because he didn't want them to marry anybody in that family, in the Canaanites. And I'm not saying family, but any other Canaanites. But to keep it in
Amen.
The family. So it was a whole lot of dynamics. And then another thing is, you was reading, God put in my spirit, we got to remember something. These boys were teenagers. They weren't grown men. Because remember, if Jacob worked for Laban for 20 years, these boys, all of them, are under 20 years old. They're from 19 and
Amen.
Under. So you think about teenagers. Teenagers don't have the mind to think of the consequences of their action. All they were thinking about was, that dude defiled my sister. That dude hurt my sister. How many folks have been murdered, even today, because young people took it into their own hands to administer justice? And they felt they were administering justice for the defilement of their sister. But remember, these weren't teenagers. They were not grown old men in their 30s and 40s. They were children themselves. They were probably no older than 15, 16 years old, maybe trying to stretch it, 17 or 18. But they were young. They were not old. And so your mind, they were like our baby, which meant that she could not have been very old herself. She couldn't have been very old.
Amen.
So you're talking maybe a 11 or 12-year-old here that this guy is talking about, I want her for my wife. So we got to think about the ages of these people when we're looking at this situation. So basically, it was like this young man raped a child. She was not grown, even though in the movies they depict them as older, but when you look at the scriptures, they couldn't have been very old, because it said, when we go back into our word, mother said that she gave him a son. Leah gave him a daughter, but she was the only daughter that they had. You know, Rachel finally had a child, but as they was going through all of this, you know, you're talking still 20 years. Because it said, I worked 14 years for Leah and Rachel, basically. And we know 7 years. Oh, it may not even been that old, mother. Because he didn't get to lay with Leah until he had been there for 7 years. And then, and Leah conceived. And so if you take 7 from 20, that's like 13, 14, 12 years old. So it's like looking at the ages, unless, you know, he was there longer than the 20 years he worked for his father-in-law. That's the only thing I can think of, that he was there longer than the 20 years. And so these kids were older. But Dinah couldn't have been very old. And, you know, if you look at all of that and in that respect of age, that's why the brothers lost their mind and killed these folks, because that was like, this boy raped a child. Their little sister was not old. She was young, and they were not having it. And most brothers would have done the same thing.
And the thing that I look at, it shows just how much they loved her. They loved their sister, and she's been violated. If they didn't care anything about her, they wouldn't have got that angry. They love their sister. Mm-hmm. And most young men in the family are protected of their sisters. Mm-hmm. And they loved her. And that's why they were so angry that she had been violated. They would want to see her married, maybe, but the right way, not rape and disgrace. I'm reading Life's Lesson, Genesis 33:11. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me. We should be glad that God does not deal with us on the basis of our own righteousness, but on the basis of his boundless grace. He blesses us because of who he is, not who we are. God blesses us even when we don't deserve blessings. He keeps right on blessing us, and we know that it's God. And it's not because of who we are. It's because of who he is. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Like I say, it's preach, mama, preach, because that's the truth. Woo, preach. That's been a great word this morning, a real good word. And, again, we have to remember that nothing that we think is new is new. It's all a circle, the circle of life. As the Lion King says, it is truly a circle of life. God gives, God takes away. We live and we die. And
amen.
Another generation lived and another generation died. It's all a circle of life. But the matter is that even in today's world, if somebody molested your young sister, you'd be ready to kill
my
them.
Lord.
That's
amen.
Just the reality of some things. You know, we know that this is the Lord. And we know that God is in charge of everything. But we also understand that things happen. I was just reading a news article where a guy that was a child molester, disappeared. 1999, this man disappeared. And they thought that he had ran away, and they found his body and then figured out all these years later that he was murdered, probably by a family member of the victim. So, 1999. And they, you know, because of DNA and all of that stuff, they finally figured out who he was and what probably happened. But, again, no evidence. You know, they're going on, I don't know what they believe that it could have been a family member. But, you know, all these years, I'm sorry. That's just, But anyway, vengeance is the Lord and justice belongs to God. We got to leave it alone and God will take care of everything. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we are in the 9th psalm in verse number 1. And it says to the chief musicians, to the tune of Death of the Son, a psalm of David. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. And that is it. They will fall at the presence of God because God's got our back. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sit on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their names forever and ever. And remember, there are some countries that are mentioned in the Bible that no longer exist because they have been blotted out. We got to understand who takes care of us. And if we go to a life, what the Bible says about chapter 9, and we're dealing with verses 1 and 2, his worthy eternal name. Psalms 9:1-2 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. our thing. Praise to your name, O Most High. Truly, we can agree that God is worthy of praise, but why is his name written in such a unique way? What does it mean when we see God's name, Lord, all capital letters, in all capitals? Whenever we see Lord presented in this way, it is because the original Hebrew text said YHWH. These four letters are known as the Tetragrammaton. And I know I didn't pronounce that right, and my teachers would be really upset with me. And it says, and they signify the personal name of God, because we call it Yahweh, but it's YHWH, does not have any vowels. We do not know exactly how to pronounce God's name. Most often, we will hear his name pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah. However, what is really important is that the wondrous name reflects God's character. YHWH means that he is the existing one, the I am. God told Moses in Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. Because the Hebrew language does not indicate time, here in another way we can translate this is to I will always be who I have always been, or I will forever be who I am now. God never changes. And I like to say God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's what the word tells us. As a faithful and loving as he was yesterday, he will also be today, and he will continue to be for eternity. That is why God is so worthy of our praise and adoration, because we are certain that he will help us with the same wisdom, love, and power as he helped all those before us. Therefore, whenever you see the Lord, all caps, in all capitals, give him the praise he deserves. Echo the words of the prophet Jeremiah. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. And when you see Lord, capital L-O-R-D, you're talking Jesus. So just keep that in mind. And as we go into Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 through 26, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Again, we got to go back to the word that God gave us this morning, because God is in charge of everything. Almost high, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. Again, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Again, they shall fall and perish at your presence. We got to trust God. Again, in our Old Testament words, the men of Shechem, they all died. Again, one man's sin caused all the men to die. Again, we say it again, they shall fall and perish at your presence. And of these two boys, which one wind up becoming the priest of the tribes of Israel, the Levites? Levi, who took vengeance into his own hands, but God elevated him. God will do that. Chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing that what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Now, they done took the word of God and twisted it. God didn't say you cannot eat on the Sabbath. He didn't say that. They weren't picking grain to harvest. They weren't eating. And then Jesus had to put them in their place. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, not lawful for him to eat, not for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Come on, Jesus. You would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord. There's that little L. I mean that large L, lowercase O-R-D, even of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord. Even of the Sabbath. He's like, let me tell you Amen. Who I am. As you sitting here judging me, let me tell you who I am. I am the Son of Man. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He wanted them to know. Let me tell you something. And as we continue, it says, now, when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Come on now. You know, they took everything to the nth degree. And it says, and then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value than is a man than a sheep? Therefore, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Come on now. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Again, every time they tried to pull some mess, he just took it, swept it up, and gave it back to them. They didn't know what to do. Because they would try to get him. Well, you was eating on the Sabbath. Y'all was pulling grain. God didn't say you can't eat on the Sabbath. God said you're not supposed to work. They weren't working. They was eating. And they was eating what was available. They were not taking that grain and putting it in the thing and putting it down and taking the grain and making it small and making it into cakes and all that. They was just eating it fresh off the stalk. As they say, and it was good. They were not trying to do anything wrong on God's day. But again, Pharisees following after him to see what they could catch him in. There are people today that go to churches just so they can see what they can catch the pastor in some shenanigans. If they can see that the people of the church are doing any little thing wrong so they can run and tell it. Instead of being there for the salvation of their soul, they following around trying to see what they can catch somebody doing. You know, and God is tired of that foolishness. And it says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. But yet you sitting there whining and complaining. This man is in your church with a withered hand, and then you're going to try to catch Jesus. But can you heal on the Sabbath? What is the house of God for? But for healing. Healing of the mind. Healing of the soul. Healing of the body. That's what the house of God is for. Renewer of the mind. Renew our mind and transforming us. Renewing of the mind and the body and the soul. God wants us renewed every morning for his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And we got to remember that. But folks get so caught up in doctrine that they can't see the holiness of God past their nose. And as we go forth, it says, yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, not cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. In his name, Gentiles will trust. And we trust in the name of Jesus. That is our word for this morning. It wasn't a long word, but I tell you, we got to trust in the Lord. We got to give it all to God, not just a little small part, but all of it. You know, I was having a dream in a dream this morning, and I remember in my dream, I was calling on the name of the Lord. And my clock went off, and I realized that I had been sleep dreaming. You never know. God will let you call when you know the Lord, even in your sleep, when you feel like you're being attacked. You know to call on the name of Jesus. And we got to know that God, oh, Most High, when my enemies turn back, folks turn back to get you, they shall fall and perish at your presence. When you say, get behind me, Satan, you don't have to worry anymore, because understand, God's got your back, and he is right there taking it to him. And he will never touch, because God's got you. And when we believe and trust that God's got us, everything else falls into place. And a word for my sister in Christ this morning, Sister Carolyn, as always, right on point. And the word that she gave us today is, don't give up on a good tomorrow. Just talked about that. Because of a bad yesterday, God can make all things new. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God makes all things new morning by morning, new mercies we see. And as we look at the sun coming up this morning, it's new. It's a new sun. It's not the sun of yesterday. It's the sun of today. And the sun of yesterday was just as beautiful and bright as the sun of today. And the sun of tomorrow would be just as beautiful and bright, because we know that the light of the world is God. God lights it up. He is light. He is love. He is loyalty. He is all them L, because he is the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell God thank you this morning. Just say thank you, Lord. Anybody who has a word from God and would like to unmute your phone, unmute, say amen, and let us know what God has put in your heart this morning, because this has been a great lesson. Mother Valerie, do you have anything?
You know, God is just good. I was thinking about what you said. You had a vision or dream. And, you know, they said, who are the archangels? And I found this out. Gabriel, Michael, and then Z-A-M-A-R-I-E-L. He's the first angel. He's powerful and he's kind. And he comes and he communicates through visions and dreams. You know, I was reading that. I didn't know about Zamorel. Zamorel. He's one of the first. They say that he's the first angel. But he comes and communicates through visions and dreams. I said, wow, God, you are a good God. And then I think about that rape that happened in the Bible. Rape in any day, in that day and in this day. It's a horrible thing. And they say when a man rapes a woman, He just wants to show her that he's more powerful than she is. Rape is a horrible thing for any female or male. I mean, you can rape a male. Rape is just a horrible thing for anybody to have to go through. And I can understand the brothers were angry enough to want to kill, because people kill in this day and age about rape. We still kill when our loved ones are raped by somebody. That's just a horrible, horrible thing. And then I remember, and this is a real life story, that a lady was raped. And what she did wrong. When she forgave the person that raped her, that was good. That was good. But then she invited that person to come to her home. Not only did he rape her, he raped and killed her. And that's a true story. I mean, God don't tell you that you have to be around somebody that raped you. And when you forgive people, he don't tell you that you actually have to be in the presence of people that have harmed you. You don't. So, you know, God gives you a mind. You're supposed to use that mind with knowledge and wisdom. For God is good. He's good all the time. And that's about it. So I guess we're going to
be ready to wrap it up. I was just looking up something real quick. And, you know, like I said, Mother, right now we're in our today. You know, they're starting to bring out the stuff dealing from Jeffrey Epstein, who was a pedophile and who died and who committed suicide.
My Lord.
And, you know, the thing is that he had a whole lot of powerful people that went to his quote-unquote island of, I call it island of debauchery. And, you know, we got to understand that the enemy is busy. And again, Mother, we talk about it all the time in church. He's not after you and me. We owe. He's after our children.
Amen.
And, you know, so you think about it. This little girl, and I'm going to call her a little girl.
Amen.
That's why her brothers got so angry.
Amen.
You know, and you know you have brothers. So I'm just looking in a Bible app, and it says, we are not sure how long they lived there before the next events transpired, but we can estimate that at the time of the story, Dina was between 13 and 15 years of age. This reinforced by the actions that her brothers take later on, they would have likely been fully grown men to exact their revenge. As they did. Again, she was not grown. She was a child. And what happened to this child, that's why her brothers got so angry. That's why her brothers went off like they did. It wasn't just because they hated somebody of what they did to their baby sister. And that's what she was.
Yeah.
She was their baby sister. And, you know, again, the mercy of God, it could have been a whole lot worse, but we know that God is in charge. You know, so we know that all kind of things happen to people, and we got to pray. You know, we got to pray, and we got to pray for those that hurt us. We got to pray for those that do dirt. We got to still pray for them, but again, and we got to forgive. But we should never forget so that it doesn't happen again. God is in charge. And believe, just like this man to jail, Jeffrey Epstein, went to jail, and he couldn't handle the fact that he was about to go to prison and killed himself. But all the names of the powerful people are coming out because they were mentioned and they were written and they were investigated. And believe me, don't be shocked when you start hearing other names coming out of folks in power that have been doing some low-down, dirty stuff in the dark. Because, again, by our word of God, what's done in the dark always comes into the light, because God is light and he will shine it on darkness. And, again, if there's anybody that has a word this morning, now is the time, because we are about to wrap it up, Mother. Nobody has said yay,
amen.
So we are wrapping it up, Mother. I pray. May the Lord
amen.
Watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over all of you. For you, your families, your loved ones, we lift them up, asking God to cover them, and they're going in and they're coming out. And we also ask God to cover all those that are homeless, our houses, that are living in shelters, mm-hmm. that are living on the streets, especially those that are on the streets. We ask God to put angels of warmth around each and every one. But we do not want to hear of anyone passing in the snow or in the cold. We ask God to keep them covered by his blood. In Jesus' name, we are lifting up our planet. We are lifting up our leaders. We are lifting up each other. Have a blessed day, family. We thank you for joining us. We ask you to tell a friend, come join us again tomorrow. We are also on Blog Talk Radio now, so we are blogging and conference calling at the same time. Praising God for giving me that. How long we'll be on both, I do not know, but understand that if you want to call on the conference call number, you can, or if you want to go back to calling on Blog Talk, you can. Either way, you will be recognized. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Have a great day. And this time, this is my final Mother Valerie. I got to go to work. And it's cold outside, so I got to warm my car. So take care, family. Have a great day. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.